go to Matthew chapter 9. Matthew chapter 9, we'll go to the end of the chapter. Very familiar portion of scripture, one that you hear preached on and read quite a bit during Missions Emphasis Month. And of course, it applies to worldwide missions, but folks, the bus ministry is missions. Amen. Operation Occupation is missions. And, you know, I like the sign. And by the way, Brother Levi, you made one for Brother Reiser, didn't you? And put it above their door. Could you make one for us? And he put above their door as they leave their church there, "You're now entering the mission field." So let's go ahead and get that done. And I really liked what you did for him. And I don't know why you did it for him. And, you know, but it's all right. Probably because he asked. "You have not because ye asked not." Right. Okay. All right. That's probably the issue right there. Well, I'm on record now having asked. So Matthew chapter 9, verse 35. Let's all stand for the reading of the Bible. The Bible says, "And Jesus went about all the cities and villages." Think about this. "And Jesus went about all the cities and villages." I wish I could have been there. I wish I could have followed him. I wish I could have watched everything that is contained in one verse here. I could have just tagged along and stood at the fringe of the crowd and listened and heard and seen all that this verse encompasses. "Jesus went about all the cities and villages, teaching in their synagogues and preaching the gospel of the kingdom and healing every sickness and every disease among the people. But when he saw the multitudes, he was moved with compassion on them because they fainted and were scattered abroad as sheep having no shepherd. Then saith he unto his disciples, the harvest truly is plenteous, but the laborers are few. Pray ye therefore the Lord of the harvest that he will send forth laborers into his harvest." Heavenly Father, you've been so good to us. It's a wonderful thing, dear Lord, that you put in the heart of my father and a group of people, Lord, 50 years ago, not just to start a church, but Lord, to have a burden for young people, to have a burden for the poor, to have a burden for people who could not be in church if someone didn't go pick them up. And so, Lord, we read back and we can see as we look into the old business meeting notes that within the very first year, Blessed Oak Baptist Church had a van running and then voted to buy a bus. And from the very beginning, it was bust them in from the fields of sin. And Lord, you've allowed us through your miraculous provision. Lord, I have no way of calculating. Nobody knows. But the tens of thousands of dollars that have been spent through the years, Lord, just keeping this ministry going. And then the miracles that we've been allowed to see as a result of it. And so, Lord, I pray, dear God, as we kind of highlight this ministry tonight, Lord, that you'll help us to, first of all, be thankful, Lord, for all that you do. And Lord, for allowing us, dear God, the safety that we've been blessed to have through these years. Lord, and mechanically, dear Lord, those that have worked on the buses behind the scenes. And then, Lord, your good hand just to make sure, dear God, that we hardly have a problem. And if we do, it seems like we always see your hand in it, where it happens and how it happens. And you've been so good to us. And then the many people, dear Lord, that have staffed the buses and visited. And Lord, whether it's ladies that are baking cookies so kids can have homemade treats, or Lord, not only just those that work on the buses, but Lord, once they empty out on the property, there's got to be a whole army of people ready and waiting and willing and prepared, dear God, to love them and to teach them and to preach to them. And so, Lord, this is a ministry, dear God, that everybody really is involved in. For everybody that puts a dollar in the plate, they help keep the buses rolling. And so, Lord, I pray, dear God, that you'd help us to rededicate ourselves to this outreach. We pray these things in Jesus' name. Amen. And you may be seated. Jesus set for us an example in this portion of Scripture. I won't preach it, but I'll just give you the quick outline. It's been preached here. It's been taught here many times. Jesus taught us that the first thing that we need to do is just go. Well, as soon as I get a burden, I'll go. No, just go because you've been commanded to go. It doesn't say go into all the world and preach the gospel when you get a burden. It says just go. And the first thing you must do is go. As you go, then you'll begin to see the need. And as you begin to see the need, number three, your heart will begin to be moved with compassion. And as you are moved with compassion, this will drive you to do something about it. Now, it's not going to happen if you don't go. It's not going to happen if you don't see. And if that's not going to happen if you don't let God touch your heart. But once those things happen, you know what? You're going to have to do something about it. And so you want to get involved yourself, obviously. But it also then inspires you to begin to pray, because you soon realize that there's more people to reach than just a handful of us can reach. So what do? Pray ye the Lord of the harvest that he send forth laborers into his harvest. And so there's the outline. There's the example of the Lord Jesus Christ. And it certainly applies to the bus ministry. When I went off to Bible college back in 1979, I did not grow up working in the bus ministry here at Blessed Hope Baptist Church. I didn't. I never got involved in that ministry. If I could go back and redo one thing in my teenage years, well, there's a list. But if I could go back and maybe redo the most important thing, I think I probably would get involved in the bus ministry. I think it would have helped me spiritually. I think it would help me not to be so selfish and self-centered. I think it would have helped me to open my eyes and see some things that would have really helped me to see at that time in my life. One of the things that I carried back into this ministry once I was hired back in 1994 and that put me over the young people was a real desire and a real push amongst the young people. I told them, I want you to join a bus route. I remember one time we did early on. I went through all the ministries of the church with our team so that they could just be familiar with what goes on here. And then the week that I taught on that ministry, we had all of the young people be involved in that ministry. And we taught through every one of them. And so the week of the bus ministry, we had every teen ask the parents, please, this one week, we want every teen riding the buses. And as a result of them all riding the bus that one week, many of them, matter of fact, most of them asked their parents, can I stay on the bus route? Can I? And you know what happened? They went and saw. They just went the first time. And they realized what's happening and what's going on. And there's a need here. And these are real people. And somebody's got to do it. And somebody's got to run to the door. And somebody's got to do the little jobs on the bus. And so we kind of sparked that. And I want to say to you parents, thank you. Because many of you, or most of you, have encouraged your young people to be involved in this ministry. And I really do think it's a great thing during their teenage years to be involved in. And so how'd the bus ministry change your life? Well, I go off to Bible college, and the first 2 years there, I was in the Fisherman's Club. And after that, they have a requirement that you spend at least 1 year in the bus ministry. So I knew my third year, I wanted to go into the bus ministry. And then, you know what, I ended up spending the next 6 years in the bus ministry. And I was there for a while. But you know what, I don't regret one minute of it. I appreciate that ministry. What did it do? How did it change your life? Number one, the bus ministry took me out of my comfort zone. Took me out of my comfort zone, you know. When me and Bill English was in Fisherman's Club together, you know what? We went soul winning together. And so what we did was we tried to go in the city up there and didn't like it at all. And so you know what we would do? We would go to a Fisherman's Club meeting at the college. Then we would drive south of Cherville and south of Cedar Lake, way out in the country in the boondocks, where normal people are, where people I'm more comfortable talking to, and that's where we would go do our door knocking, our soul winning, because that's what I was familiar with, and that's what we tend to do. Everybody wants to kind of go find your comfort zone. Well, preacher, we've kind of constructed our lives, and we've constructed our home, and we've constructed our social life, and we've constructed our ministry around things that we know how to do and feel comfortable doing. And I do understand that God does give us spiritual gifts. And I think that there's nothing wrong with that. But I do think sometimes we don't even know what God may have for us or what one of the things we might be really good at, just simply because we've never tried it. You know, we're like some of the kids. I ask them, do you like broccoli? And they say, oh, no, I don't like broccoli. Have you ever eaten broccoli? No, I've never eaten broccoli. Well, do you like it? No, I don't like it. Well, if we're not careful, we kind of have that approach to ministry. I don't think I'd be a fit there. Well, how are you going to know if you don't try? And so guess what? They didn't give me a choice. You're going to spend a year in the bus ministry. And so Jasonville, 1,500 people, here are 2,000, I guess they say now. I've tried to find the extra 500. I can't find them anywhere. But But there in Chicago, there's 1,500. I calculated this out. There's about 1,500 people on a three-block stretch. All right. And so all of a sudden, I come from Jacksonville, Indiana, to inner city Chicago. And you talk about being out of my comfort zone. But you know what? I begin to see some things I've never seen before. And because I've seen some things that I didn't see before, it began to affect me. What Jeremiah wrote this in Lamentations. He uses the little phrase, mine eye, three times in four verses. He says, mine eye runneth down with rivers of water for the destruction of the daughter of my people. Mine eye trickleth down and ceaseth not without any intermission. Till the Lord looked down and behold from heaven. Then verse 51, mine eye affecteth mine heart because of all the daughters of my city. And you know what? There is something about going up into the inner city Chicago. Listen, folks, a lot of the people that are adults, they are living the life that they've chose to live. But he said, I got brokenhearted because of the daughters. I got brokenhearted because of the young people. You know, folks, listen, they didn't get a vote on where they were born. They didn't get a vote on what kind of family they were born into. They didn't get a vote as far as what their background was or you know, what ethnic group they were a part of. You know what? They are just as much a soul loved by the Lord as anybody that's born in Greene County, Indiana. And for me to be able to see that and experience that, it took me out of my comfort zone. The bus ministry also then empowered me, number two, to reach large numbers of people. Now, when I was going out in the soul winning club, you know, we would knock on doors and we'd go out and every once in a while, you know, we'd win somebody to Christ. And then we would get that one person to agree for me to go by in my car and pick them up. And boy, I remember how excited I was from time to time just to be able to go and knock on their door and they're ready and, hey, they're going to come to church with me and then bring them to church and watch them get baptized. And man, I'd come back after a weekend having experienced that, man, and I'd be just on high. You know, I think, what an amazing thing. I got to see one person saved. And you know what? They agreed to come to church and I went and picked them up and they actually were ready and they came to church and they sat with me and I got to introduce them as my visitor. And then they after the service at the invitation, I'd sit down and talk to them about baptism. And yes, I want to do that. We'd walk forward and I'd sit out there and watch them be baptized. And many of you have had that experience and that's incredible and that's amazing. But all of a sudden, they gave me a bus. They gave me a 72 passenger bus. And all of a sudden, this incredible thing was, this gift was handed to me. I tell the story of the very first week that they made me a bus captain. They made me a bus captain over a route that had been without a bus captain for several months. And because of that, there was only two lady workers that were visiting that route during that time. They would visit a handful of regulars. They would get them all in one spot. And then the bus next door would come by to pick them up if they had room to get them, as many as they could put on the bus. But they weren't even running a bus on that route. And then they made me bus captain of that route. Daryl Moore, I'll tell you this story in a minute, gave me one street of his route. But this route, for the most part, had not been worked for several months. I think it was about 4 or 5 months. My memory's been a long time ago, but it had been a length of time. So now we got a bus. And, you know, I don't know a whole lot about being a bus captain. I've been in the bus ministry. When I became a bus captain, I'd been in the bus ministry for 4 months. I worked under Johnny Esposito in Joliet 4 months. We had a good time there. He taught me a lot. But next thing you know, they kind of just, hey, you're going to be a bus captain. Here you go. Well, I needed a driver, so I talked Dow Allen into driving for me. And he was actually the man that trained me in the Fisherman's Club. And we had such a good rapport. And when he heard I was going to be a bus captain, he actually came and found me and said, hey, what do you think about me being your bus driver? And I said, oh, yeah, brother. And he said, well, you know, I got to help you out in Fisherman's Club. Let me help you out with this thing. And we had a good relationship, and it just worked out great. So now it's me and Dow Allen and these two lady workers who I hadn't met yet. And so we go up into Chicago, and I don't know a whole lot. I kind of knew where the boundaries were. You know, they gave me a little map. These are your boundaries. And so I didn't know anything about organization. And, you know, I'm basically just wandering around inside of this square of blocks. Any kid that I can see, I'm trying to talk them into coming to church. And then they're saying, well, I got to go ask my mom. Let's go ask your parents. And then they'd run me through some alleys and up a back step. And I've got scraps of paper with notes on it. And I'm trying to write down the addresses and the names. And And I don't know why I wrote down the addresses. I didn't know the streets. I wouldn't have known how to find them anyway. And I literally came home that night with pockets. You're going to laugh. Pockets full of scrap paper that had all these names. And I climb up on my bunk and I lay all these out. And I'm trying to remember who this kid was and where this kid was. And I finally just realized what a mess I've made, you know. And I'm never going to find these kids. And I really remember just kind of leaning over the top of these papers and just crying out to the Lord and just say, God, I don't even know what I'm doing. But Lord, please help these kids to get up. I'm not sure I'm going to be able to find them all. But just please help them to be ready. And so the next morning, you know, when I drove through, I said, Dow said, well, how do you want to run the route? I said, well, let's go to the far corner and let's just drive. And he said, well, what houses are we going to? I said, I'm not sure. And I said, I've got some of the addresses. Some of the other ones, I couldn't read my writing. And you know, I'm not sure where these kids are. So let's just go slow and look. If anybody's standing outside or looking out a window, we'll run up and ask them if they're going to come to church or not. I wish I had a more brilliant plan, but this is what it was. And we literally just slowly went. I said, you ladies look out those windows. We'll look out over here. And man, if a kid even glanced at the bus, I just assumed he was coming and jumped over. Some of them were looking at me like, get away from me. And, you know, stranger danger. And, you know, and the other ones, you know, yeah, I talked to you. So I began to recognize some kid. Didn't I talk to you? Yeah, are you coming? Yeah, let me go get my sisters. And we crept through four blocks. We did that five streets. That was the size 5x4. And we ended up, then the lady workers had their section. And when I went around the corner, we had about half a bus, me and Brother Dow, full. And when I come around the corner, there was two ladies that I hadn't met yet that was sitting in the middle of the street. And they had about 30 kids with them. And they had already ran and gathered them. They knew what they were doing. I didn't know what I was doing. They knew what they were doing. And they had, by the time it took us to creep around, you know, picking kids up, they had already went to all their houses, gathered all the kids in one spot because I was late. And, you know, then they piled on the bus. And you know what? On that very first Sunday, 72-passenger bus, we had 72 young people in there. And, I tell the story, and I want to share it with you because, listen, you got to love what you're doing. You got to fall in love with what you're doing if you're going to be in the bus ministry. And I remember Dallas taking off, and we're so excited. Me and him are just looking at each other like, what in the world is going on? Kids are cram-packed. They got a bus captain, don't know anything about what he's doing. And I get about a block away from my route, and I'm telling him, pull over, pull over. And he's like, why? Just pull over. And I was just so overwhelmed and so excited. I'm sitting there looking at what God did. It's not what Jerry Ross did. It's not what the workers did. It's what God did. I didn't even know what I was doing. And I got outside the bus and I just started walking around the bus praising the Lord. And I mean, you know, and I'm not the Baptist-Costal type, but I was that day. I was shouting and praising the Lord. And those kids are all looking out the window, watching this crazy man go by. And then they shifted the other side of the bus. And I go by and I take a couple laps and I get back on. And Dow's crying and the lady workers are crying. He's like, are you done? I said, yeah, let's go to church. Let's go to church. You know, folks, picking up that one convert, that was something, bringing them into church. But when I got to church and I get off that bus and I'm helping those kids off and I'm taking this group and hand them this lady worker to get them to the right class. And you know how you divvy it up and make sure everybody's going the right direction. And then I take a group and I'm watching the groups in front of me go and I'm watching this and I'm like, God, this is amazing. This is amazing. The opportunity that you've given me, this is incredible. And folks, listen to me. You know what? I wish I could tell you that every Sunday we had a pack bus. We certainly didn't have a pack bus every Sunday. But no matter what God gave us, I was always astounded at the idea that the bus ministry, it can empower a family. It can empower a small group of people to have an enormous impact on a lot of people's lives. It gave me the opportunity to reach a large number of people. It taught me what was necessary to reach a large number of people. You say, preacher, what were the tricks of the trade? Well, let me tell you something. Before we get into some of that you have to learn, I will tell you this right now. What I learned real quickly was this. I believe that bus was filled that day because I fell over the top of my bunk on a bunch of scraps of paper and cried out to God and said, Lord, I don't know what I'm doing, and if you don't help me, I'm in trouble. Amen. And I just can't overemphasize the importance of prayer. preacher, we don't have as many to draw from. This isn't Chicago. I understand all of this, and I don't ever want to discourage our people by making comparisons. There's no way to make a comparison to an inner city bus route and a rural bus route. And I want you to know that your pastor understands that, okay? But, you know, I've gone to this town over and over, and I've gone to the same kids, and I know about how many kids there are and where they're at. And, you know, there comes a point where the only way that you're going to get some of those young people on the bus is just begin to fall on your face before God and pray for them. And say, God, I've done everything I know to do, and you've got to do a miracle in this family's heart. Can you give me this family? Folks, I still do that on Operation Occupation. The first year, maybe it was the second year, I went over and I visited Lewis. And I ran into a little girl by the name of Ari that lived over there. And I went and visited her grandmother and Brother Val and them. They still visit her and are trying to get her to come. And it's just I won't go into it, but it's a very difficult home situation. And I assessed the situation, and I knew it would be very difficult to get the grandmother and the father to ever agree to allow us to get her. And you know, I remember going over and sitting in my car, and I don't know, God doesn't do this with everybody, but I just bowed my head and I just said, God, would you give me that little girl? Would you just give us, Blessed Hope Baptist Church, that little girl? Would you just do it? And I visited there off and on for 6 months and made no headway at all, but tried to build a relationship, and you know how you do. And then, you know what? We finally had a youth revival here at the church. And you know what? I went and took a flyer, and I asked her grandmother, would you let her come? And she said, well, only if our older brother will go. And I said, all right, can I meet him? She went and got him. His name was Sean. I said, hey, Sean, listen, I've been praying for your sister to come to our church. We're having this youth revival. Grandma, and I understand. I appreciate a grandma that's protective. Amen. No, amen. Amen to that. I have no problem with that. Thank God for that. You better be in this day and age. There's a lot of crazy going on out there, okay? And so Sean kind of looked at it, and he said, well, okay. And I said, you will? Yeah. I said, oh, that'd be a blessing. And you know what, folks? Sean and Ari both came to the youth revival. Sean and Ari both received Jesus Christ as their Savior. You know, they came sporadically after that a few times. At least she did. But again, the home situation being what it is, it's still very, Brother Val's been faithful and we're trying. But folks, do you realize nothing can ever take away the fact that that girl knows Jesus Christ as her Savior? And when I drive through Lewis, I hardly ever, and we cut through Lewis a lot because that's how we get to Terre Haute from where we live. I don't think hardly a time I ever drive through Lewis where I don't go past her road and just pray and say, God, you know what? You know where she's at. And you know that she's your child. And Lord, one of these days, let her walk back into Blessed Old Baptist Church. And we have, what I'm saying is, folks, it takes prayer. Yes, sir. It takes meeting somebody and getting a burden for them and getting a hold of God and refusing to quit praying and praying and praying and praying. And it may take 6 months and it may take a year. It may take a year and a half. It may take 2 years. But man, it's something when all of a sudden they come walking out on that bus for the first time, and you know what? God didn't. Okay? Thursday after chapel, I'd meet with my workers. I want you to understand this. I think sometimes people, they hear about the First Baptist Church bus ministry and they think, yeah, inner city Chicago, all those kids. Let me tell you how they filled those buses. They just went up there and waved around a goldfish and hundreds and thousands came. Let me tell you why we saw the miracles we did. Because Thursday after chapel, I met with my bus workers, and you know what we would do? We would have prayer meeting. 6:30 in the morning on Saturday morning, we would meet in a room in our entire division, and we'd have a prayer meeting. You know what? At 8:30, we'd have a division meeting, and we would preach to the workers and get ready and make our plans for the day. And then at the conclusion of that, we would have a prayer meeting. I would drive up to Chicago, and I would wait for the bus that brought our lady workers. And I'd make sure, because I wanted to make sure they got there, and I wanted to make sure they were squared away and taken care of. And before they left, we had prayer together. Are you listening to me? As we're visiting through the day, sometimes, man, I would just look over at my partner, and we're having a bad day. I mean, kids aren't coming, and everybody's got plans, and it seems like I can't get any new riders signed up. And I've just looked over at Danny Poole. I don't know how many times I said, Danny, we need God. And we get down on the sidewalk. I mean, on our face on the sidewalk in the middle of the day in Chicago. Listen, we want to see a miracle, or we just want to play at this thing, you know? And get on our face on the sidewalk and say, oh, God, please, please. We're doing everything we can, but we need you to move in the hearts of people. You can only do what we can't do. And many times we get off our knees, and the next visit or two, we'd sign somebody up or see somebody saved or start getting things turned around. And then when we got done on Saturday, all the men, ladies went home early. I'd meet them and get their visits that they didn't find home, so I could go by. And then, you know what, they would take off, and then we would stay later. And after dark, you know, we'd meet with all of the bus workers in our division in one place, and we'd have a prayer meeting. Another prayer meeting. Saturday or Sunday morning, I'd get up and, you know what, get on the bus, get all my workers on there, and you know what we do before we do anything? We did two things very important, and in this order. Number one, we would have a prayer meeting. Number two, we'd stop at Dunkin' Donuts. Amen. Prayer meeting, Dunkin' Donuts, that is the secret to getting God's power on your life and seeing miracles in the bus ministry. And, you know, take care of those lady workers. Take care of your driver. Get them hot coffee. Get them donuts. Take good care of them. Amen. And now you bus drivers are real happy, aren't you? Did you hear that? Yeah, we're going to find out who the good bus captains are now, you know. And make sure they're taken care of. Amen. And what are you saying, preacher? Pray, 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 pray. Amen. Well, I'm not in the bus. Pray for our bus routes. Hey, you get up on Sunday morning as you're putting around getting ready, kind of look at the clock. Hey, by 7:15, 7:30, 8 o'clock, these buses are rolling. And I mean, they're on the route picking up people by that time. And you know what? They would love that all blessed hope. You know, you could take a little stick-it note and just put it on your mirror there as you're getting ready and say, pray for the bus ministry, amen. Just pause and pray for them. Yeah, it taught me the importance of prayer. It taught me the importance of faithfulness. You know what? You're going to have discouraging days. I figured that out. Man, first week as a bus captain, I filled my bus. I thought, man, there's nothing to this. Guess what? You know what? I found out next week wasn't so good. And you're going to have those down days. And it's not always going to be like that. You know what I had to learn? I had to learn to lose myself. Let me talk about this for just a second. You know, if you go into the bus ministry, you got to have some enthusiasm. You can't be worried about what everybody thinks. Some of you are so bound. You can't get out of yourself because you're so worried about what somebody's going to say about you. Listen, just get up there and have a good time. If you're having a good time, the kids are going to have a good time. If you're willing to lose yourself, come on, just be a kid for a while. Just enjoy yourself. And, be willing to do crazy things. And kids love that. And you know, if you'll do that every week, we used to think of every week we'd brainstorm, okay, what can we do that's just crazy? What can we do that's unusual? And again, me and Danny Poole did a lot of visiting. Me and Bill Spriggs did a lot of visiting together. And Danny Poole was like the best tenor I've ever heard in my life. And so he would sing. If I sang lead, he'd sing tenor. And he was good enough that he made me sound almost good, you know. And so I'd say some Saturday, I said, okay, let's knock on the door. And every single person that comes to the door, let's sing. She'll be coming around the mountain when she comes. She'll be coming around the mountain when she comes. She'll be coming around the mountain. She'll be coming around the mountain. She'll be. And he sang this killer tenor, man. I mean, we sounded good. Good. Well, one time I said, okay, let's tie our ties. And I had the top part, like the part you're supposed to have, like here. And the bottom part's hanging clear down there. And we both tied our ties the same way. And we knock on the door, and they're just staring at us. And we just act like, you know, it's perfectly normal, you know. And just, you know, anything to make them, you know, go, what is going on, you know? And so, listen, you know what? Preacher, that's crazy. Yeah, kids like crazy. They like having fun, you know? And so whatever it takes, just have a good time with them, all right? You know, enthusiasm. I learned the importance of organization. Once I kind of started learning how to be a bus captain a little bit while I was being a bus captain, I figured out I couldn't do it all. And you know what? God did give me some great workers. And actually, my lady workers helped me a lot in this. I said, okay, what are you used to visiting? Well, this is kind of our section the last bus captain gave us. And then he had this section, and that was the largest section. And then he'd have the driver visit this section. I thought, man, that's a really good idea. You know, if you listen to your lady bus workers, you can learn a lot about the bus ministry. And I said, well, that makes sense. And so, you know what? We divided it up like that. And that gave them ownership. And bus captains, I really encourage you to do that. Let me say this to you workers. Let me tell you, say, preacher, how did the First Baptist, why did you become a bus captain in 4 months? Well, when I worked with Johnny Esposito, he cut the route in half. And I worked with him during the summertime. All the workers were gone, but me and him, and we had a bus driver. And so there was no, you know, this is your side, this is my side. He kept most of the regulars. He gave me the section that had almost nobody because he liked beating me every week and having more than me. And so, you know what I said? Well, you know what? We'll fix you. And so I went to work. And pretty soon I was having as many come as he had come. And listen, do you know why they made me a bus captain? Because my bus captain gave me a section of the route. And he said, go get somebody. Go sign up some people. Go to prayer. Get busy. And you know what he taught me? I went with him for a while so I could kind of learn how to do it. And then I started going by myself. And you know what I did? I started doing what he taught me to do. And you know what? It started working and God started blessing. And pretty soon I'm running as much on my side as he's running on his side. We have a bus route where in the summertime, most of the time, the bus routes dip a little bit because we don't have the number of workers. And here we're running twice as much as what we normally ran in the spring. And guess what? When there was a vacancy in the bus ministry, you know what? And they had the division leaders meeting. And hey, we need a bus captain for Daryl Moore's division. Who do you have? Johnny's kind of sitting there going, ugh. And he finally says, well, I've got Jerry Ross. And you know what? I think he'd make a great bus captain. But, you know, it seems like everybody wants a position. But could I ask you a question? Have you earned it? Have you earned it? Okay, get under somebody. Learn from them. Amen. And bus captains, give them a section.
Yes, sir.
And say, if these kids die and go to hell, it's on you.
Yep. Come on.
These families aren't reached, it's on you. How serious are you about this? And then roll up your sleeves and go to work.
Amen.
You say, preacher, I'm not that personality type. I wasn't that personality type. Stop hiding behind your personality.
Right.
Okay, like I said, learn to lose yourself. God will be with you. God will bless you. God will help you. And you begin to see, listen, it's not just a matter of getting a certain number. You know what fuels that? As I begin to grow that half of route in Joliet, I begin to watch those kids go to church. I begin to see them come back and with a whole different countenance after they've been in church and Sunday school, and they can't wait to talk to me. And Brother Jerry, I got saved today. I got saved today. I begin to see them coming back from church and they got wet hair and I'm like, what happened? I got baptized today.
Amen.
Folks, listen to me. Somebody's got to care. Somebody's going to make a difference. Preacher, do you ever fear that there'll come a day where we don't have a bus minister at Blessed Hope Baptist Church? I do fear that. I think there's only one way it could happen. And the only way it could happen is this. I don't think it's ever going to be money. I don't think it's ever going to be that God doesn't have us give us the people that's able to work on the buses. I don't think that's what would kill the bus ministry. I think it's going to be, do we have in every generation young people that are coming up that says, I am willing to give my life to something like this? Because I'm not going to lie to you. It drastically changes your weekend and the way it is. It takes somebody that's willing to kind of have your lives turned upside down a little bit every weekend. You know, you're going to have to commit to either a Friday evening or a Saturday, part of a Saturday to visit. You're going to have to get up earlier than most of the folks here get up on Sunday. You're going to get home later and eat lunch a little later. It's just what it is. But I'm going to tell you this. The rewards are just unbelievable. And the idea that you have this opportunity to reach groups of people like this, it's unbelievable. So the bus ministry took me out of my comfort zone. It empowered me to reach a large number of people. I'm going to say this. It taught me how to love people. And I'll tell the story. I've told it before. But when I became bus captain, Daryl Moore, I said, told you, gave me one street of his. Actually, his route butted up against mine. So Holman Avenue used to be his. Since this route hadn't been run for a while and it was a little smaller, he said, I'm going to give you Holman Avenue. I want you to meet me that first Sunday, and I want you to Saturday, and I want you to go visiting with me for a short time. And then I'll turn you loose on your own. And we went down Holman Avenue, and there's probably about 8-9 stops on Holman Avenue that I inherited from Daryl Moore. And that, by the way, that also helped me reach my 72 that day. But he went down that 4-block stretch with me, and he introduced me to every single family that he had signed up, and he had He had got to ride the bus for the first time, and he had such a strong connection with these young people and these families. And as he introduced me to him and told him, you know, we're going to have Brother Jerry be your bus captain. And so I'll see you in church on Sunday, but he's going to be the one visiting you and picking you up. And man, he'd get down on his knees and he'd eye level with him. He'd talk to those kids you know, he'd tell them, you know, boy, I got a great bus captain for you, and you're going to love it. And I love you, and I'm gonna come over to the bus as soon as you're there tomorrow. I want to make sure that you rode and all these things. You know, as he did those things, I watched him get up, and then as we're walking to the next house, you know, he's wiping tears away. And then he did that again, and we're wiping tears away. And he'd go in and introduce me to the moms and the dads and give me all of their names talk with the kids, and then we'd walk away and he'd wipe tears away. And you know, when we got down to the end of that block, you know, he said, now you take care of them. That's the last thing he looked at me. He said, Ross, take care of them. And he turned around wiping tears, walking away. And I remember watching him walk away, and I looked back down those four blocks and I thought about what I just saw in the last hour. And I remember going down, there was a little stairs going down to a vacant apartment, and there was broken glass and stuff, and I cleared off a space down there and got on my knees and said, God, I don't even know what I just saw, but I don't have that. I don't have that love for people like that. I don't have a love for these people here like that. I don't. And God, whatever that is, you got to help me get it. And as I prayed and asked God to do it, by the way, be careful what you pray for. If you ask God to break your heart for people, you know what? You're going to have to go through some things that's causing you to have a broken heart.
That's right.
And I can sit here and tell you, I don't have the time tonight, but three very specific things the Lord did in the next couple of months on that route that just literally just broke my heart. And you know, folks, listen to me. It's easy to be selfish. It is. In the last days, perilous times shall come. Men shall be lovers of their own self. It's hard to put others before you, but I will tell you, you know what? Every one of these kids that I was a bus captain for a while, every one of them, you know what? They probably had better bus captains than me, more organized. Yeah. But I would say this. I don't know if they ever had another captain that loved them more. And, you know, I was listening to some of our night bus riders one time. And these are kids that grew up. They started riding bus when they were in elementary, and they're teenagers now, and so they've been coming. You got to understand, when they get a new bus captain, they figure it out. Okay, people come in, most of them graduate in 4 years. They're going to have these workers for a couple years, and then, you know, they're going to have a new bunch and a new bunch. They're going to watch this person graduate. So these kids have watched them come and go and come and go. I hear them talking about two lady workers, and I'm kind of sitting there, and they don't know I'm listening. Just a group of the teenage bus kids, bus teens. One of them said, well, yeah, she's a Hasta. And I said, what in the world are they talking about? You know, so I listened to them. And then they talk about, that's another lady worker. Yeah, she's definitely a Hasta. And finally I got up and I walked back and they kind of looked at me like, you know. And I said, what are you talking about? Oh, nothing. Come on, what are you talking about? Hey, kids will talk about you in ways they won't talk in front of you, amen. So I said, come on, come clean. What are you talking about? And they started finally laughing and said, okay. Well, it's a little secret amongst the bus kids, bus teens, but every time we get a new crop of workers in, you know what? It takes us about 2 or 3 weeks to realize they're either there because they has to be there. So those are the Hastas. There's the Hastas and there's the Wannas.
Right. Right,
are you listening to me?
Yeah, right.
Okay, you got to do 1 year in the bus ministry. Okay, here I go. I'll go do my 1 year in the bus ministry. Because you know why? Because I has to.
Yeah, right.
That's what they called them, the Hastas. Let me ask you, bus worker, are you a Hasta? Come on, Sunday school teacher, are you a Hasta? Sunday school worker, you a Hasta? Nursery workers, hey, are you a Hasta? Or are you a Wanna? Because you see, you're not going to fool young people. And you're not going to fool them very long. And I said, okay, now I got to know, what's Brother Jerry Ross? And one of them smiled, looked at me, and Brother Jerry, we knew from week one you were a wanna.
Amen.
You know, folks, listen to me. Give your heart.
Amen.
Give your heart to them. I think we have people sitting in this room right now that have the potential to be incredible bus workers. I think even some of you who may not be able to write on Sunday, you could go to a bus captain, you could say, hey, you know what, I can't write on Sunday, but would you let me visit on Saturday and give me a section of something and let me just have something to throw my heart in. Everybody needs a mission field. Everybody needs something you're responsible for. And so pray about that and think about that, okay? Now abide a faith, hope, charity, these three. But the greatest of these is charity. Listen, folks, they're going to know whether you love them. Number four, the bus ministry showed me the importance of discipleship. It's one thing to be able to fill the bus up. It's another thing to be able to love people. But folks, listen to me. We have to disciple them. Amen. And the night bus became the focal point. You know, I tied Daryl Moore in attendance the very first Sunday. I was a bus captain. You know, I had 72. He had 72. Here he was the division leader. He had the highest route in the division. And the first week I'm a bus captain, I tie him. So I'm talking a lot of smack, you know, to him because he keeps reminding me why I gave you an entire street of what I, the only reason you got it is because you had my kids. So we're going back and forth, you know, you got to learn to have fun. Come on. And so then we go pick up for night bus. Okay, now what's night bus? Well, after we stop and have our Burger King break, come on, you got to go to Burger King or McDonald's or somewhere. Amen. And then about an hour we had to kill, and we went around and started picking up all the teenagers and or families, adults that wanted to come to night church. Well, we went to his route, and he had over 20 night riders. Went to my route, I had one, I think. And so guess who's talking smack now, you know? And he's like, yeah, Ross can fill the bus up, but he don't know how to produce anybody wants to come back on Sunday night. But one of the good things that I learned from him was this. Hey, listen, you know what I did the next week? I'm like, hey, we're going to go eat lunch on the bus route. And I'm like, how do you get 20 night riders? How do you get 20 teens and adults wanting to come back on Sunday night? I mean, folks, they are committing to an incredibly long day. I mean, the time we would pick them up, get them to church, drive them from Chicago to Hammond, drive them back, drop them off for about an hour. Some of them wouldn't even get off the bus. They would go to with us to Burger King. There was nothing in the house that they wanted to be around. This was their escape day. This was their sanity day. This is their day of being around people that loved them. And so, you know, then to go back and then drop the last one off at 11:30 on a Sunday night. I mean, it took a commitment on their part to do it. And he told me, he said, discipleship. Okay, listen, we've got to do all three parts of the Great Commission. He said, Brother Jerry, you know, I understand, you know, we want to make as many visits as possible, and we're going to sign up new riders, and we're wanting to get our soul winning time in. But he said, you have to, at the end of the day, be willing to go back to those young people that are showing promise and showing interest. You've got to be willing to go through the new convert material with them. You've got to teach them how to read through their Bible and have a time of daily devotion. You've got to sit down sometimes with them and just figure out what's going on in their life. And they're not going to open up to you till you gain trust with them. And it takes, folks, listen to me, this stuff takes time. I understand you're not full-time college students, and I've never tried to put the burden of the number of hours we put in, but I'm just telling you, if you want to see long-term results, it takes investment. It takes time. You can't just do drive-by visits. You've got to figure out what's going on in their life. You've got to sit down. You've got to notice when things aren't right, and you've got to find out why they're not right, and you've got to figure out the family dynamics. And you know, I mean, Lydia Villagrana, you know, who's now Lydia Lima, I mean, she's flunking out of algebra in high school. And so, you know what I do? I go over for Saturday night, and part of what I do is go and set the kitchen table with her and tutor her through the next week lessons, an entire week lessons of algebra, what's coming up. And she went from being a D and F student to a B student and passed that class. Hey, it takes time. It takes time. And so, you know, as God allows you, and as I understand, but maybe you can't do it with, you know, 10 kids, but you could do it with one or two or three. As I've mentioned with this thing of a vision, you've got to begin to see all men clearly. You've got to figure out and ask God, who do I invest in? And, you know, Maria Vega, you know, I can go into First Baptist Church. I could go next Sunday morning, First Baptist Church of Hammond, and I can sit down and I can watch a little girl that was 14 years old when I became her bus captain, and I can watch her walk out of the choir and sit on the front row to the choir, and she's a grandma now. All right, we support One of her daughters, missionary to Peru. Okay. I mean, preacher, what was your big day? What was the most attendance you ever have? You know, I can't even remember. But I remember Maria. I remember Oscar Marino. For years, he's dead now, passed away. He's in heaven. But for years, he was a deacon at First Baptist Church. One of my bus kids. Nellie Sanchez. I used to go back up shortly after we would leave. We left there. I'd go back up for pastor school and some special meetings. And if I was there on a Sunday, I'd go by the Spanish nursery and I'd knock on the door of the Spanish nursery and the ladies would open the door and I'd say, is Nellie here? And I'd look over and there she is taking care of babies. Now she's an adult, but she was a bus kid. You know, Lydia, I already mentioned her. You know, Louis Varamontos, he lives up in Wisconsin now, and him and his family faithfully attend church, got a beautiful family. You know, just Cheryl invested so much in those three boys. It was Louis and Franco and who else? Francisco. Louis, Francisco, and I forget the name of the third one. Those boys were the toughest boys I've ever seen in my life. They would always want to be dropped off last. Because we would go, you know, all those kids watched like this wrestling stuff all the time, you know. So those three boys, they were probably about, at that time, they were probably about maybe six, eight and ten. And the last thing they would do before they got off the bus is me and them, I'd take my tie off, take my coat off, and I'd say, all right, it's on, back of the bus. And those three guys would spend the last five or six blocks as we're heading their house doing everything they could to cripple me for life, you know. And I would be throwing them. You couldn't hurt them, boys. They were all rawhide. I would try to hurt them. No, I was trying to hurt them. Why? So I could live. You know, they were playing for keeps. They're playing for keeps. I'm playing for keeps, man. And every time I get one and body slam him on the seat, you know, I'd have two of them jumping on my back and tackling me. And, man, I was never so glad to get to their house. I'd hang on for dear life and then kick them off the bus and say, see you next week. And they'd come in, their shirt's all torn, and my shirt's all torn, and it's great, man, you know. You know, now he's got a beautiful family, and he's living for the Lord. Little Monica, you know, who lived in that little basement apartment, Cheryl, you know, a little one-room basement apartment with her mama, and we invested so much in her, and she's faithful to church. Still goes to Brother Dave Meese's church. Monica, or Maria Yanez that you met just a month or two ago, she's going to come back for the tent meeting. And, what are you saying? Five of our young people ended up in Bible college from that Chicago bus route. What I'm saying is this. Listen, again, I'm not trying to compare apples and oranges. I'm just telling you this. This may not be inner city Chicago, but you know what? Prayer still works. And love still works. And enthusiasm still works. And dedication still works. And I want to say, I guess, a great big thank you to everybody that exemplifies that every single week here at Blessed Hope Baptist Church. We have people who their hearts are in it. And if your heart's not in it, you're not going to stay in it probably very long. And so thank you for that. Let me say in closing, the bus ministry prepared me to pastor a local assembly. Of everything I received in Bible college, preacher, what was the thing that best prepared you to pastor a church? The bus ministry. Listen, the classroom was important. I'm not trying to negate that. But it's certainly pretty awesome to be able to take everything that you learned all week long in the classroom and then be able to go on the weekend and put it into practice. And every single week, we got to live out what we learned. I wasn't studying preparing for something I would do 4 years from then. I was studying preparing for what I was going to do 4 days from then. And so I believe that having a chance to put what I learned in the classroom, those principles to work on the weekend, I mean, that was priceless. I was looking at the list of young men that's going to be, I say young men, some of them aren't so young, but our young people that are coming back that's going to preach under the tent, 16 young people will be represented by those who will preach under the tent. I know not all of them that are preaching grew up here, but some of them married someone who grew up here. But of the ones that are connected to Blessed Hope Baptist Church, 16 young people will be represented by those who preach under the tent for our camp meeting in a few weeks. I want to say that 6 of those were reached through the bus ministry. Don't tell me the bus ministry doesn't work. No, it works if you're willing to work it. Okay? 6 of those were reached through the bus ministry. But here's the thing that I think is lost upon us sometimes. Of the 16, 6 were reached through the bus ministry, but 8 of those are our young people that grew up helping in the bus ministry. And when sometimes people don't see fruit that remains as much as they'd like to in the bus ministry, and hey, I wish we saw more fruit that remained than we do, trust me. But you know what? What I think is this. It's not just, having a bus ministry isn't just about the kids you're bringing in. Having a bus ministry is about our own young people and our own families. You say, preacher, you just listed all those people's, and I could have talked about more young people that are still serving the Lord. Preacher, you changed their lives. Look right up, by the way, don't ever say that. Let me tell you something. I had a part, I hope, in changing their life. But there's nobody that ever turns out that's the result of one person's effort. And I want to remind Blessed Hope Baptist Church about here. Anybody that turns out here, it is a team effort, okay? I promise you that's true. You say, well, you changed their lives. No! They changed my life. They changed my life. They taught me how to pray and how to plead and how to beg and how to counsel and how to preach and how to love and how to sacrifice and how to give and how to push when I'm tired and push when I'm sick, because you know what? I've got to be there, because you know what? They've been looking forward all week and this is their one shot and they need to see me walk on that bus. And the bus minister, I think, prepared me to do what I'm doing today. Well, thank God for our bus ministry. Let's spend a month rejoicing. I love the pictures. Amen. Thank God for the bus ministry. Amen. Let's bow for a word of prayer. Heavenly Father, thank you, Lord, for the opportunity that you've given us here. Thank you for the faithful, faithful people, Lord, that we have working here in the bus ministry. Those that have, yes, they've altered their lives because they love young people. Lord, they love this ministry. Lord, every single Sunday, it seems like of late, we're seeing the results of that. Thank you, Lord, for the lives of the young people that we're seeing changed. And Lord, to watch them grow in grace. Lord, we pray, dear God, for more and more of them, dear God, to get a heart for you. And Lord, I pray, dear God, that you would help us as a church to evaluate ourselves in this area. It's a tremendous ministry. Yes, it's a lot of work and it takes some dedication and some sacrifice. But Lord, the rewards are so great. Lord, I pray, dear God, that you'd bless. Lord, we pray in Jesus' name.